Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
That's the sound of unaged whiskey transforming into Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Around 1860, Nearest Green taught Jack Daniel how to filter whiskey through charcoal for a smoother taste, one drop at a time. This is one of many sounds in Tennessee with a story to tell. To hear them in person, plan your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Save big money at Menards. Menards has everything you need for your projects from ceiling to floor. Designer's Image vinyl tiles are perfect for updating your home. They feature self-adhesive backing for fast installation and come in several styles. Save big money on Designer Image vinyl tiles at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
What is up, Wizards fans? Welcome to another Believe in Wizards podcast. I'm Matt Moderno. He's Jihadi White. Jihadi, it is like a million degrees here in the DC area. How are you guys holding up out in St. Louis right now?
Not as bad. It's hot, but we got a lot of that residue from the hurricane down in Texas. So by the time it got up to that Midwest area, we just got a lot of rain, which we definitely needed.
Yep.
So I was happy to see it, and it rained all day yesterday. So I just gave me a chance to not turn on my irrigation system. I'm all for it.
There you go. One day without the sprinklers on is probably a nice savings there.
Got about 2 days straight.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
Take it. I played basketball in an unair-conditioned gym last night, and I'm doing that again tonight. So I'm going to see if I survive. I'm getting too old for the back-to-back in the 100-degree gyms. So
no, it's not.
Cross your fingers for me.
Yeah, that back-to-back is no joke. That 100 degrees is no joke, but that's the best. That's the best workout ever when you're in a hot gym,
exactly.
Especially when you're young.
Yep.
I mean, you felt like you had an advantage because I've been working out in the hot gym, practicing in the hot gym, so I got an advantage over all the other players. You know, so just look at it that way. It's all about perspective.
There were a couple of recent high school grads in our game last night, and by the end of the night, I was struggling to keep up with them. So.
Yeah, I bet.
Tonight's a little bit of an older crew, so it suits me a little bit better. So,
okay.
We'll see how it goes. As always, we're brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas, Hard Lemonades, all the good flavors you can think of there. A couple of new strawberry lemonades and things like that that are delicious. And Bet Online, it's your number one source for all your betting needs this season. MLB, golf, UFC, tennis. Wimbledon's on right now if you want to bet on that. Get the latest odds, news, and scores available for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports, player props, odds, and just about every sport out there. Can head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. Bet online where the game starts. All right. I think the first thing we got to start with here today is just Summer League. We were talking about this before recording. I kind of left some placeholders in there for the fact that we hadn't heard the Summer League roster yet. We're recording this on Wednesday. Their first game is Friday. So this is pretty late in the game for them to formally announce it. Normally, these teams do like a little mini camp a few days before the first game. So they've probably been out in Vegas for. Well, actually, no. I think the Wizards were at their practice facility today, so that doesn't even make sense. This is kind of rare, so I would imagine they're heading out tomorrow, Thursday, to get ready for the first game Friday. But usually there's some kind of get-in-early acclimate period, so a little surprised to hear that. Their first game, like I said, is Friday night, so that's 7-12 at 9:30 p.m. against the Hawks. Their next game is on Sunday against the Rockets. That's 7-14, which is also my birthday. So the Wizards got to go out and get me a Summer League win. That would be pretty nice. Then they play again. Yeah, it's coming. That's the hope. They can just run through this schedule here. We'll get to the roster. I think they got the group to do it. They play again on Tuesday against the Blazers. That's 7-16. And again on Thursday against the Kings. That's 7-18. And then they'll have a fifth game, which is TBD, based on the results of their first four games. So going to be kind of interesting to see just how they progress through that. There's a couple other fun teams in there to watch. You've obviously got the Hawks with Zachary Risacher, the number one pick. So having him go against Alex Saar will be interesting. The Rockets and Blazers are good young teams. And then the Kings have a little more of a veteran group, most likely. So that'll be kind of a nice contrast. Jahada, you've played in Summer League. We talked about this a little bit last time. Is it a concern at all that they're not getting out there a little early and getting set up or anything? Or is it they're just going to be able to hit the ground running okay?
You usually have like a week before Summer League to get prepared, you know, or so. And I don't think it's a major thing because guys, one thing for sure, guys are already playing.
Yeah.
You know, they are playing. So unless there's something they want to implement for Summer League. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you think about it, they're getting so many things together, still getting their coaching staff together, getting so many things together. Usually teams have a coach that they already kind of implement for Summer League. And then that coach coaches the practices. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think the guys will be okay. In the end of the day, Summer League is not structure.
Sure.
So if you go out there with too much structure, it's, you know, I don't know.
Down anyway.
And then also with too much structure, you truly don't get to see the players that you want to evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
So you want them to be able to have the freedom to play and really play their game so you can really evaluate them on a true level, a natural level. So I don't know how much structure you want to have. I know one thing for sure. They're going to want certain players to touch the ball, you know, and how are you distributing the ball? You know, okay, if this guy, we got this guy here, maybe see if he can help us out in rebounding. What guy, how about this one guy? Is he much of a defender as we think he is if we bring him in? So this is just a more evaluation process than the structure. Mm-hmm. I even be surprised by halfway through the Summer League that Saar may not play as much. You know, we don't want to risk hurting our main guy, that, you know, our top draft pick. Mm-hmm. So it's just more about structure, evaluating, seeing the process, who we want to bring into training camp. Put Saar, you know, give him a few games where he can get a lot of touches so we can get we on TV, get the hype built around him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much you can implement for Summer League. And the more now that you see Summer League going on this time, it's just guys hooping.
The one thing I liked a couple years ago, the Pacers put in a couple set plays from the Arizona playbook for Benedict Mathurin, just to kind of let him come in, get a couple easy buckets in a way he was used to it. I thought that was like a really cool move for like, hey, this is our top, you know, seven pick or whatever here. We want to make him comfortable out of the gate. I would love to see them just run anything just to get like Saar an easy bucket or two early, get the pressure off his back a little bit there of just like, you know, got a freebie here, or run a play to get him like a pick and roll lob or something just to kind of get him on the board quickly. Cause you know, if you're a top two pick and you have a bad Summer League game, even if you're a big where you're not getting the same amount of touches, like people love to overreact to that. So I think just getting him comfortable right out of the gates would be really nice to see.
Well, they're going to have to do that only because Saar is most likely will play a five, yeah, possibly a little bit of four. Sure. But that means, one, he's not bringing the ball up, mm-hmm, right? Two, the first pass most likely isn't to him. Because, I mean, if you think about it, if you really think about the way basketball goes, it goes from point guard to wing.
Yep, and then maybe you get a post entry or something.
Then maybe.
Yeah.
So it's too many decisions before he touched the ball. So, which means that if I'm the Wizards, I have to get Saar touches,
mm-hmm,
you know, first so we can get him implemented. Also, he knows he's the man on our team.
Yep.
What we think about him, you know, it's a message within the message, you know, mm-hmm, and that it starts in Summer League with the team and the connection between the team and their top draft pick. So it's going to be tough because you're going to have to give him a ball in different situations. But first, you're going to have to give him the ball where he's comfortable.
Yep.
Thing is, these days and times, you know, it's not a lot of post-entry passes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a lot of guys who knows how to still have the art of throwing the post-entry pass.
Exactly. Yep.
So Sarr's going to have to, in the summer league, advance his game. I mean, mm-hmm. which it's pretty much advanced. He has a feel on the floor, not just in the post. So, which is good, but he's really going to have to show it.
Yep. Yeah. To your point too, like a lot of times these top two, three picks, especially if they play well, they're not usually around after the second or third game. So you gotta make your work, early here and make it count early. Mm-hmm. So I hope they do that again. The one thing I kind of had on here before we saw the roster was really, really wanted to see Jared Butler come in and play. It's nice to have a point guard that has an actual contract locked up. So he's not coming in and playing, you know, I've got to get mine to try to, like, you know, get that contract or whatever. Butler's got a little security there. He can come in. He can be the guy to execute on, okay, we want Sarr to get a certain amount of touches. We want Bub to get a certain amount of touches. Like, he can be more of a table setter because he doesn't have to worry about getting his own to kind of prove a point. So he is on the roster. So I was really excited to see that. It was like the first guy's name I looked for other than the rookies, because it's like, all right, a more veteran guard has got a little job security with him here too, as opposed to like this free agent guy that's like, I got to get up 25 or I'm not going to hang around.
I think with Jared, yes, it's a little more security, job security, that, yeah, you're here, you're under contract.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, now you have to show more leadership and poise out there.
Yeah, it's true.
If I'm on a summer league team, I can't be out here looking as wild as the rookie.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yep.
I may have to sacrifice some points. I think with Jared, his main thing is to be pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever he's doing, whoever he's looking for, whatever he's running, his job this summer league is to be pinpoint and to lead the ship.
Yep.
You know, he has to be the floor general.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his only job. Talk to guys. Talk to the young guys. He's going to have to be the most vocal guy on the floor.
Yeah, agreed.
Right? Yep. Right? So he has a different responsibility than everybody else in summer league. It's not to show that he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
It's to show that he fits.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, he fits the system. He's now saying, okay, I have to be the Wizard system. I got to show that I understand the Wizard system, and I understand what they want from mm-hmm. me. And so I need to show that.
That's the guy that, once you establish what your priorities are for the summer league, he's the dude that can help make those things happen for you. So that'll be good to see. We mentioned the coach for this group, and that being an important piece of it. It will be Cody Toppert, who was the Wizards G League coach last year. So that'll be, you know, some continuity for him. There's a good amount of these guys that played on the G League team last year, so he'll know their strengths and weaknesses. Presumably he's a savvy, smart guy from everything I've heard. So I think he'll be able to quickly get up to speed on what the new guys do well. So I have confidence that they'll be able to quickly come up with a game plan for, you know, how to best set these guys up for success. Just running down the roster here, the Wizards posted in alphabetical order, so I'm going to do the same thing. Patrick Baldwin Jr. is on the team. Jules Bernard, coming over from the G League team of UCLA background for anybody that watched him college basketball. Jared Butler, as we mentioned. They've got John Butler Jr., like basically a 7'1" wing, essentially. Probably still weighs less than 200 pounds, but I thought he was really interesting for the G League team this year as kind of like a switchable guy who could also protect the rim and hit some corner threes. He just has to fill out and continue to like build an NBA frame. He's still way too skinny, but he's at least an intriguing long-term piece to me. They've got Bub Carrington, Justin Champagne, who was reasonably productive for the G League team last year and a couple games for the Wizards. Got Johnny Davis. This is like a really make or break year for Johnny Davis in summer league. I think that was mentioned here in the chat by Jimmy Go Outside. Do we think Johnny Davis will start in summer league? That's really a question, right? Like, it'll show a lot what they think of him. He's one of the more veteran guys. He's got probably, you know, he's got the most established background of any of the guys on the team here. So for him coming in and not getting a ton of minutes, I think that would really tell you what their expectations are from him moving forward. I don't know. Am I wrong there? Like, is it a bad sign if he doesn't play a ton in summer league?
Yes, but to me, if I'm Johnny Davis, the fact that I'm still at summer league,
bad, yeah,
is a bad sign anyway.
Right, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Because yeah. Now that's saying, okay, this team is basically telling me, hey, I still need to develop. Mm-hmm. I still need to find a way to fit within this team.
Yep.
And they don't trust me yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Is it a bad sign if Johnny Davis doesn't start in summer league? Yes. Is it a bad sign that Johnny Davis still in summer league? Yes.
Yes. last year, I thought we had seen some encouraging steps in the right direction from him in summer league, and they just never kind of seemed to carry over. He wasn't super efficient, but he was a lot more assertive, and that was kind of the biggest thing for him, is not look scared on offense. So hopefully we see some actual growth again this year, and maybe those things actually translate into NBA games. I don't know. That ship may have sailed at this point, but we'll see. Next on the roster is Taylor Funk, kind of a 6'8" 6'7" three-point shooter. So shooter with size is always good. You've got Keyshawn George out of Miami, one of their draft picks this year. Again, another shooter with some size. Marquise Noel, I think folks will remember from the NCAA tournament a few years ago, played at Kansas State, kind of 5'7", freak athlete. He was a microwave scorer in college. And actually, microwave score is not really fair. He was like a 20-plus point per game scorer as a college player. Led Kansas State on a good tournament run. Is undersized, but again, athletic enough to kind of make up for it. I thought him last year in the G League was really cool to see, because this was a guy that was a big time college scorer, still facilitated and playmaked. But last year in the G League, he really seemed to understand the assignment that his pathway to the NBA was scoring 25 points per game in the G League. It was 15 and 9, and really using his speed to get into the lane, get easy looks for other people. So I think he's another really good guy to have on the summer league team, because he'll be able to create a lot of easy looks for other people, like a pick and roll between him and Alex Saar. Good luck guarding that most of the teams in the league, because he's so dynamic. So I like that signing. Eugene Amarui, who I think will be 28 by the time this season starts. It's another guy I'm a little surprised to see in summer league. And honestly, I kind of don't like that particular move. It's just, we know what he is. He's probably a pretty close to finished product at this point. He's a little older, so I don't really see what the super value of having him on this particular squad would be. He's another guy with a partially guaranteed contract. So, like, what are we really learning from him at this point? Tyler Robertson, 6'7" wing out of Portland. He's probably the most unathletic player I've seen that will make a summer league roster this year. I got to watch him in Portsmouth this year, and was just shocked that he was there. He seems like considerably the worst player in the event. So a little surprising that they picked him up as well. You've got Alex Saar, Eric Stevenson, kind of a microwave scoring guard out of West Virginia, and then Tristan Vukcevic. So, good group overall. I mean, the young guys should get a lot of minutes and are featured on this team. It's the guys like Jules Bernard that are multi-year G League players at this point. Like, I don't want to see them get a ton of touches at the expense of people like Bub and stuff like that. So, I don't know. Just overall thoughts on the general roster construction here, Jody.
I mean, it's not bad. Most people won't know most of the guys anyway, but you are looking for what type of feedback you can get from the guys you do know. You know, you want to know about Tristan, like Vucevic. How is he going to play, right? You want to see how Saar is going to do. You want to see how Bub is going to do, right? Then, I mean, that's really the main. That's what most guys want to see, right? That's what the fans, we want to see the players that we know going to be there, right? And then if it's somebody blossoming, it's great. You know, mm-hmm. Somebody that you didn't expect, you know, that or a name you don't recognize that well, that's blossoming. Okay, cool. But in the end of the day, it's all about what the current new players are doing and how they're playing. Now, mm-hmm. If they're playing good, great. That's what we expect usually.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody's playing below par, you know, Vucevic doesn't look as well as he did, you know, toward the end of the season. You got to, you know, it's summer league, so it's no structure. You know, it's wild. It's, you know, everything, but you still want to see some effectiveness from these guys.
Sure.
So I think, you know, other than those guys, great. We have a good, don't seem like a bad roster for summer league. Is summer league about wins and losses? Depends. It doesn't really make anything special if you win or if you lose concerning how your season's going to be.
Right.
So, you know, some of these is great to have, though, you know.
I think it's just a nice opportunity for these young guys to get their feet wet a little bit, play in some of the context that they're going to hopefully play in for the Wizards this year. It's just not overly meaningful to me, especially for the older guys. Like you've got Amirui that's, like I said, almost 28 years old, has dozens of games of NBA tape. What am I going to see from him that helps him, you know, helps me determine if he's a part of my longer term future or not, or if he even makes opening day roster? You've got enough other solid guys that it never makes no sense that in the chat, it's about putting structure on Bub and Sarr. I understand that too, but what is Eugene Amirui, an undersized power forward who shoots every time he touches it, doing to give you structure, essentially? Like, I'm much more concerned with the Jared Butlers and veteran point guards and things like that. So
I'm right there with you. I don't see what Amirui gives or what he does it at this point. Like, I'm trying to figure out the purpose.
Yeah.
I like him. One thing I like about Amirui is he brings back that old school physicalness. He works hard.
Some energy. Yeah.
But you need, for the type of player he is, he's undersized, which makes him sometimes not effective. He's too wild to me.
Yeah.
So it's great, but it's not, you know, it's like, okay, if you're not wild, what type of player are you? But I actually like Amirui.
I just don't need to see him on the summer league team trying to score 20 points a game.
Yeah, it's after that, what do you offer the team? What do you offer? Like, how do you fit in the system? You know, where do you fit in the concept of the new, of what we might, you know, the structure, and how, you know, how do we plug and play him?
Mm-hmm.
He's just not that style game type of player. So then what are you going to do in summer league? You're going to see the same player that you've been seeing.
Exactly.
And being 28, you know, it's not like his game is going to grow to and expand his game to a better player. I mean, at this point, so I just, in another against him, I just don't see the purpose of him being there.
Right. At least like a Justin Champagne, he's 23. You know, there's still some reasonable chance that he gets better as a player. You know, like it's
right.
That makes more sense to me. And that's a way you provide a little more solid structure around a team than this particular guy. I'm nitpicking overall. Like it's how they deploy these guys. I think we'll be bummed if every time certain older players who probably aren't here long term shoot every time they touch it, at the expense of some of these opportunities for some of these young guys we actually want to see. So as long as they kind of are all on the same page going into this, like, no big deal. And again, some of those more veteran guys, they may only play the first two games or so anyway. So not too big a deal. Mentioned Butler and having a veteran point guard on there. I don't know. Overall, it's a pretty balanced roster. You mentioned it. I think Sarr probably plays a good amount of five on this team. Probably he and Vucevic. And maybe some amount of Amirui as an undersized big. So, I'm cool with that. I think it'll be good overall. We mentioned Cody Toppert, smart, creative offensive mind, so should be able to get those guys some easy looks.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get high-quality paints and save big money on your next project now at Menards. Freshen up your home with a grand finish with Pittsburgh Grand Distinction Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer with excellent durability and comes in over 750 Wanko colors. Save big money on Pittsburgh paints and stains at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hear that? That's what cooked when you order juicy beef sounds like. The steaming hug of two slices of melted cheese, the crunch of tangy pickles and sliced onions, all topped with a toasted sesame seed bun. That's the sound of a McDonald's Quarter Pounder with cheese.
Fresh beef at participating U.S. McDonald's. Excludes Alaska, Hawaii, and U.S. territories.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families, where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits, while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Just a couple quotes from some of the young guys I thought was interesting. Bob Carrington said, "We want to show people that the young guys for these Wizards are coming to win. It's not going to be the same Wizards that people are used to the last couple of years." Sar said, "It's really exciting to think for, I think, for the whole franchise. I think there's an excitement around the city for us three about Bob and George." Sar also said why he wanted to be a Wizard. "The vibe around the whole team is just about building and being better than we were last year. They're trending in the right direction, and I think they have every piece to be an impactful team in the next few years." So saying all the right stuff. Got them some media training already. I think the guys are kind of well-spoken and giving good quotes. So that's nice to see from a young guy. The one person we won't see at Summer League is Bilal Coulibaly. For anybody not familiar with this, he will be playing for the French national team in the Olympics around that same time. So he's there playing, warm-up games for the team, essentially. So awesome for him. He's been starting for them in their exhibitions thus far. Also great to see. But I have seen a few Wizards fans sort of suggest that they wish that we were seeing Coulibaly in Summer League as opposed to the Olympics, because, you know, Summer League would be more interesting or something, and seeing him play with the other Wizards. To me, anytime anybody on your team can play in any kind of international competition, sign me up. That's where guys get better. You're spending time around other seasoned pros. You're learning firsthand what they do, what their routines are, the work they put into it. Guys usually play for like Team USA, and then that's when they start to take a big leap. So to me, this is a no-brainer. I'm much more interested in seeing him spend as much time with the Olympic team as possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's two different worlds, right?
It's glorified pickup at Summer League. Like,
yeah, you're not passing up the Olympics for a Summer League, especially an opportunity. Especially a guy like Coulibaly. Mm-hmm. I'm proud that he made it. Not only that he made it, he's a starter, mm-hmm. right? And as a rookie, look at the impact he made in the league this year, yep. right? And so it's definitely deservingly so. And if I'm Coulibaly, even if the team like, "Hey, we really want you to be on Summer League this year and play for Summer League," I'm like, "Hey, look, I love you all. But I'm going. I'm
representing my country
and in the world's game, right?
I'd be worried about you if you didn't, you know."
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's 10 times better competition. I mean, it's world exposure. Yeah. Do I want everybody to come to Vegas and watch me play, or do I want the world? I mean, it's two completely different platforms.
Yeah,
I understand the fans are upset, but they need to rethink this one.
It was a very small but vocal couple folks, and I think their overall point was just like, well, if he was at Summer League, we'd get to see him do more stuff and be on ball and do different things, whereas he'll be 3-and-D in the Olympics. It's like, but it's the Olympics. Like,
he's going to grow more.
I think it's definitely the Olympics. That would
he's
be
gonna
my
grow more than Olympics, because he's playing against the best of the best of the best, and now, He came in and he was playing a role, with the Wizards.
Yeah.
Who knows this at the Olympics? He may be the guy that they, you know, have to really make a lot of the sound decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a growing platform, bigger and better. So it's going to make him come back a better player next season.
Yep.
Having all the experience of the Olympics, believe you me.
100% agree. There's a very long track record of people who got a lot better by showing up and playing in big time international competition. And I think there was a year where, like, the one year Denny didn't play for Team Israel, he came back and made a big jump because he spent all summer in the lab working on skill development, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure that they're still spending a lot of time with Bilal, you know, working on his individual game and all those kinds of things too. So it's not like it's not lost time just because he's playing for Team France. So agreed. A couple other things I thought were interesting. The Wizards have since announced their new coaching staff. So let's run through the group here a little bit for folks, and then we can kind of talk about just trends or things we like. But the first name on the list here for the Wizards, obviously coming back, is David Vanderpool. So glad to see that they've kind of formally announced that he'll be kind of the lead assistant there again, which is great. Then they've got Adam Caphorn. Adam spent the last 3 years with the Brooklyn Nets, was also the head coach of the Long Island Nets G League team one of those years as well. So a little head coaching experience from that. He also spent, he is a native Australian. He played at St. Mary's University in California. They usually have a lot of Australian guys like Matthew Dellavedova and people like that too. So got a little pipeline there. But he also spent about a decade with the Australian Center of Excellence. That's sort of like their big development center. So he was a head coach of their team there essentially. And this is, you know, like a really good guy, I think, that spent a lot of time focused on skill development and player development and things like that, that should translate. He's also an assistant coach on the Australian national team right now. So he'll be at the Olympics this summer as well. So I think that's kind of neat. Could also maybe help you with scouting a little bit here too. He'll see guys at younger ages in international competition and things like that, which is nice. And then he played overseas for a couple years played professionally in Australia and New Zealand for a bunch of years too. So I like that experience, got some pro experience, coached in a different setting, but also has some NBA and G League experience as well. So kind of a complete, you know, diverse resume, it seems like there.
I think it makes sense to have him now, because if you think about kind of where the Wizards are going,
mm-hmm.
we're having more international players than we have had. Pretty much. So it's good for a coach to have a lot of international experience of coaching and some playing. Mm-hmm. So I think he'd be a good fit understanding international players.
Yep. Totally agree. Next guy is interesting. JJ Outlaw from Maryland originally, which is cool. He's been an assistant coach with the Cavaliers for the last 5 years. Before that with Memphis for 2 seasons and 5 seasons with the Lakers. He's kind of worked across the organization for them, scouting, player development, been an assistant coach. He played football at Villanova and then spent a very brief stint with the Philadelphia Eagles. His dad, John Outlaw, was an NFL player for about a decade, also a large portion of that with the Eagles too. So football background there is kind of interesting. But he's kind of worked his way up through the ranks on the basketball side. Small random anecdote. His mother was a good friend and coworker of my mom. So I'm going to see maybe if I can work some connections there to get JJ on the podcast here at some point. But by all accounts, a really nice guy. So I don't know, kind of interesting. Former Wizards general manager Tommy Shepard was a collegiate football player himself. So don't see a ton of guys kind of work their way up from college football to NBA assistant coach. So kind of a different sort of path there. Any thoughts on maybe how the football background can help at all, Jahadi?
So, if I'm not mistaken, his father was a football player, right?
Correct.
But he also was an NBA coach, right?
That's correct. He worked with Bernie Bickerstaff in Denver, father, I want to say. Yeah.
So his father was coached me a lot.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, which his father definitely is the absolute cool dude. I mean, the coolest dude you ever meet, right?
Yeah.
So and great basketball knowledge, and you know he's Bernie's right hand man.
Yep.
So JJ, you know how just like kind of brought through the range, just like Bernie.
He was a ball boy for the Nuggets at one point. So, you know,
like, they they both kind of just went through the range together, him and him and young Bickerstaff.
Yeah.
That's at Detroit now, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they understand the NBA in and out. You know, they're guys who, you know, been around the game since childhood. So, you know, he's always going to be a good pickup because he understands how this game moves on many aspects, which is tough because a lot of coaches don't teach the players all aspects of this game, you know, because it's in the end of the day, the NBA is a business, right? And when you come through the NBA so young and seen it for a long time, and almost kind of was birthed in the culture of the NBA. Like it's rare to be one of those guys, which you learn that you understand the NBA in and out. And that's a lot of things that guys don't get that information and that knowledge from the coaches, right? Hey, here's the NBA part. Here's the player part. Here's the business part. Here's the how to make sure you market yourself. Here's being a pro. Here's being a professional, right? So I think JJ can really, if out of any other coach, he can really add that element. And that element, those guys, okay, they could trust you more. You can take them under your wing as a coach.
Yeah, I just kind of, in general in life, like I don't know, lead my own teams at work too. I love when you have a bunch of different people that all have the background to be there, but also have just kind of different perspectives and different pathways to get there too. So I don't know, maybe there's something the football guy can see too that, you know, that he can bring. That's a new unique wrinkle or something like that too. So I'm all for this. And obviously someone with some ties to the area is also kind of cool too.
Yeah.
All right. Next guy we got on the list, Brian Randle, spent the last couple years with the Detroit Pistons, actually just last season. Got to wonder if this is a guy that Troy Weaver, the former general manager of the Pistons, put in a good word for, since he just now joined the organization as well. Spent a couple years before that with the Phoenix Suns, the Minnesota Timberwolves, spent 10 seasons playing abroad, and was a good kind of scrappy defensive forward for Illinois a handful of years, a decade and a half ago at this point. But it was never like the top guy on the team, but was like the energy big, played really good high-level defense. So I think this is another guy that, you know, Will Dawkins has kind of talked about. Actually, where's the quote I had from Will the other day? Oh, we're going to be a defensive team. We're going to get to that point from Will. Like, this is another guy that I think can help emphasize that, and was a good enough collegiate player and professional player overseas that I think he can kind of get people's attention and kind of walk the walk a little bit too. So that's kind of nice to see. And yeah, he's been with a couple other good, successful organizations. So I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, I think Brian Randle would be good. I remember him at Illinois too a little bit. Mm-hmm. One thing about it is good is it's. I feel like Keith understands how to implement defense, a defensive system, and a defensive principles. I think Randle knows how to play defense.
Yep.
Right. So now I say, okay, this is the system. This is how you play defense in this.
Yeah, how to make it translate for guys, right?
Right. So I think you need both.
Yep.
Randle is the one to say, all right, this is what Keith wants. This is how you do it. This is how I would do it. Mm-hmm. You're not, it's a difference between defensive concepts and a system and principles and a defender.
Mm-hmm.
I think Randle now say, hey, let me create defenders for the defense.
And how to put these guys into your system and stuff like that too.
Right, exactly. So I think he's a perfect fit because he's the other half of Keith and what Keith needs.
Yep, I agree. A couple guys are mentioned in the chat here. We'll just go through his international resume here a little bit. Played in Israel, Germany, Italy. Was the Israeli League Defensive Player of the Year, a league record 3 times in 2009, 2014, and 2015. Was also academic All Big Ten honoree at Illinois and a member of the Big Ten All Defensive Team in 2005-2006. So, just I don't know. I like that kind of hire, like that background across the board there. Another collegiate player coming in here, former collegiate player coming in here as well, TJ Sorrentin. He spent the last 16 years at Brown as an assistant coach. The last 11 of those were as associate head coach for the Brown University Bears. He's from Rhode Island originally, spent 4 years at Vermont. College basketball fans probably remember that Vermont team's big claim to fame. He and Taylor Coppenrath upset a really good Syracuse team in the first round of 2005 NCAA tournament. This is a guy that was just a really good, you know, collegiate basketball player and translated that overseas for a handful of years and then spent a little time in the then NBA Development League, too, the D League. So now the G League. I like this one. I know some people that know him personally. So I asked them this morning just kind of what they thought about TJ. And they were like, trust me, you're going to like this hire. The dude is really savvy. Obviously, Brown is an Ivy League school. Like, it's not a Power Five school or whatever. So maybe that's not as flashy for people, but he had plenty of opportunities to move up into bigger, you know, jobs if he'd wanted to do that and just seemed comfortable where he was. And I think a lot of times coaches at that level have to be really creative and stuff like that too. So I think maybe there's a unique kind of angle he can bring to this coaching philosophy as well. And you mentioned with one of the other guys that the international coach or the international playing experience as well. You know, he'll get where these kind of guys are coming from and the way they kind of learn the game, I think, a little bit here too. So that's nice considering how many of the Wizards young guys are international guys. And also like having a college coach come in too, is you've got to teach the game at that level and you've got a lot of young guys on the Wizards. So I'm liking that hire as well.
Well, with that hire with TJ, I feel like certain people on your staff need to be coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That certain people on your staff need to be teachers.
Yeah, it's great.
Right? And so coaches say, hey, this is what I want. This is what how I want you to do it.
Mm.
Then teachers show you, they reveal the beauty of the game.
Yep.
In a sense, right? Like, mm-hmm. Here's all your options. When you're standing here, what all options do you have? What do you see?
Mm.
What can you do? Right. So it's not saying, hey, this is what we need.
Sure.
Like, let me broaden your horizons with this game. Let me be a teacher.
Yeah. The how you get there kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. Right. So I feel like he's that piece and that element. I say, okay, let me expand these players mentally. Like, let me show them all the, you know, how far they can see with this game, you know. Not just a pick and roll, but how many options do you have? A pick and pop? Do you have a rescreen? What can you do in the element and the nuances and the dance of the game? You know, mm-hmm. How can you, like, I call it beautiful basketball. Mm-hmm. When, you know, I think the Celtics play beautiful basketball because it was just playing out of concepts and creating so many things out of it. And what may be open, what, like, so I feel like that you need a coach now that adds that element, because that's mm-hmm. where the NBA is going now.
Yeah. Yeah. Shameless plug, but on our Believe in DMV Hoops, DMV college and high school themed podcast yesterday, I had Jackie Manuel, that's a coach at American right now, but he also played on the 2005 UNC national championship team. And we talked a little bit about how just young men now need the why a lot more than they ever did. And I think somebody like TJ coming in with this young group, they're probably the age of a lot of his players. The Ivy League has a good amount of older guys too. So like he'll get the kind of where they're coming from and how they may need to know the why and how to like translate to that them. So I think that's another really smart move.
I mean, the why is everything. Like, yeah. Like Coach Thompson said, late great Coach Thompson, rest his soul. He will always tell us at least three times a week, we'll hear this. A man who knows how would always have a job. A man who knows why would always be his boss, right? Yeah. Let's give these kids the why.
Yeah, you know? No, that I love that. I never heard that one before. That's great. Yeah, Jackie was saying that it helps guys kind of also buy in a little bit more too. If they understand why you're asking them to do something, it's easier for them to take some ownership of it and be more accountable. So mm-hmm. Presumably TJ is kind of the right voice to deliver some of that, I would think. And we talked about having like more former NBA players on the staff, and maybe that being kind of a shortcoming of the roster or of the coaching, you know, staff the last couple of years. So the last guy on the list here is Alexi Ajinsa. Just was an assistant coach for the first time last year with the Capital City Go-Go. He now moves up to the big club here. He spent 9 seasons in the NBA, mostly for the Pelicans. So if anyone remembers him, the player, it's probably as a Pelican. Also spent some time with the Raptors and Mavericks and Bobcats. Played in France a couple years as well, was the 20th pick in the 2008 NBA draft, and was a first-team All-French League once in 2013, All-League third team in 2012, and All-League defensive team in 2012 as well. 7'2" center, averaged about 5-4 for his career in the NBA, but about 2 blocks per game per 36 minutes. So just a big dude who protects the rim. He's also French. Like, I got to think a large portion of what he'll be doing will be working with Alex Sarr directly and being like a mentor for him, of someone who understands where he's coming from. So another really savvy hire, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you know, they say there's no such thing as a big man coach anymore. Well, they need to come back.
Yeah, should right? be. Yeah, right.
Because a lot of things big men do isn't always basketball.
Yeah.
Based on just the standard basketball, how we know it, is so many things are instincts. And a lot of big things a big man do, believe it or not, like rebounding has nothing to do with basketball. So how do you make sure that it's more football than anything? It's more of a Arnold, what's the guy named? Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
It's more Aaron Donald techniques than it is anything
else. Moving around guys and stuff like that.
Because it's about positioning.
Right.
Right. So it's about positioning and who gets the first position and then keeping it.
Yep.
Right. So now if you're in the post, how do I have to get this position for you, which means my instincts means I have to think about getting this position before you. And it has to be more important to me than it's just you. Now, what if I'm on the outside? Mm-hmm. What if I'm trying to rebound from the perimeter? How do I get through three guys to get down here to get in space, right? So now I have to – it's about the timing of the shot. It's so many things, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like the only person who truly can teach that is a big man coach or a great rebounder that's just some guy who's been a great rebounder. Because it's all about instincts and how much that's important to you. Alex Sarr, right? Yeah, just because you're long and you can jump high don't mean you're going to be a great rebounder. You got to get through things. You got to be in position. So a point guard can't teach that. A wing can't teach that. A three-man really can't teach that, no matter how much you play. So we do need big man coaches back because it's such a unique position. It's not a position where you touch the ball a lot. Also, offensively wise, as a big man coach, think about the space you have to score in compared to everybody else on the floor.
It's true, yeah.
Right? So now, instead of me being able to cross a guy and get him to fall on his ankles and then I can stand there, go back down, I don't have that space.
Right.
I have this phone booth I have to work in.
And now, yeah, people are cheating down to try to strip the ball away from me.
Phone booth I have to work in. I got to beat you.
Yep.
Or I have to push you. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I still have to give things out. So now I have to teach you to how to make moves within the phone booth. And so you have to make these intense, quick, unique moves, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then you have to read. Not keep going on about this, but I'm a big man. So then you have to read positions of how somebody can drop the ball off. You have to learn the gray area, the duck spot. So it's good to have a big man coach now, that especially now that you get to see the game from another angle instead of just being there. Mm-hmm. So he's the Ajinsa. He is going to even be able to give these kids more of understanding what a big man is than when he played.
Yeah, I agree. I think just from an acclimation standpoint too, of like, hey, I played internationally. I grew up learning the same way you learned. Here's what can shorten the learning curve for you coming into the NBA. And the game may have changed since, you know, 2011 or 12, whenever he last played in the league, but it's still, you go through the same growing pains, I would imagine, especially coming from a different brand of basketball. One thing that probably gives Sar a heads up is he did play in the overtime elite. Like, he did expose himself to American basketball early. So it may be a shorter learning curve than some, but still got to think somebody who's been there and done that can mentor him in a way. And also, I don't understand basketball is a kind of universal language, but just someone who can break something down to you in your native tongue if you needed to and help with that nuance. Like, I don't think that's a trivial thing either. So I think that's a great move.
But Sar's going to have to learn the overtime game, the overseas game. The NBA game is different.
Yeah, for sure.
So he's going to have to learn the NBA game. It's more, which is more complicated when you're tall.
Sure. Yeah, he's got a lot of responsibility. And you mentioned earlier, like, people can't throw post-entry passes anymore. Well, he may not know where he's best suited to catch them and things like that too. And someone like Ajinsa can say, hey, you know, you really want to seal this guy this way. This is where you want to catch the ball. Like, hey, you should be throwing him the ball here. Like, I think that's, and someone in the chat mentioned, like, you know, Sar is not really a post-up player. Well, over time, you want him to be able to score in multiple different facets. So why not try to add every wrinkle to his game that you can? I know post-ups are not as big.
He may be a turn and face player.
Yeah.
Right now, right. He may need a turn and face game.
Yep.
You know, it's not back to the basket game, but it's the area. Or now he may need to how Sar this year will need to learn how to move without the ball more than anything.
Okay. So, like,
he's going to have a turn and face game and move without the ball more than anything. He's going to have to be a pick guy that can find spots. You really need to, if I'm the coach there, big man coach, make a Sar watch Hardenstein.
Yeah, Hardenstein would be great. I mean, even a little like Porzingis, like once he added a little more.
A mixture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but with a guy who can crash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he's going to have to be I'm teaching him, like, look, I want 20 this year, this for your first year. We need 20 and we need 15.
Love it. Go get them.
That's what we got to go for. And I'm going to teach you how to get, I'm going to teach you how to get to 20. 10 of it is going to be free throws.
That would be amazing. I would love to see him get to the line.
Yeah. So now to get to the line, you're going to have to be a downhill player, right? Mm-hmm. Which means you're going to have to figure out how to move without the ball. And you're going to have to start getting a lot of OG in your game. The quick catch OG rip, get down, foul, right? So he's a blank canvas, but he's the best canvas that the paint just fits on perfectly.
Yep.
So it's all about who's there to put the paint on.
Yeah, we won't know what kind of player he is for a couple years because he's so versatile that I don't think you can put him in a box this early too, and try everything and you see what sticks with him. Like, and maybe he's got a natural affinity to do X and he's never done it before, but you won't know until you try it. So
right.
I like this. It never makes no sense asking the chat, is this a small coaching staff or normal sized? Yeah, this won't be the whole group. There's going to be NBA teams now have as like, you know, two coaches per player. Basically, it seems like there'll be two rows of coaches. So this is probably more your first row kind of guys, like maybe somebody like Ajinsa is a second row kind of guy, but we'll hear some other names throughout. I think this is just sort of the core guys coming in. I do have a few questions about, like, we heard they totally cleaned house with the coaching staff last year, but also last year they brought in a ton of player development guys. So it wouldn't surprise me if a few of those guys are sticking around in that context. We just haven't heard it announced yet either. It'd be hard to totally clean house with that portion of things too. So I do think there'll be other names and more people we hear. So it's a good question. All right. So let's see here. A couple other questions in the chat. What happens to Johnny if he struggles in summer league this year? Would we be able to trade him? I think the only thing he'd be traded for is just fill in from a salary perspective for another bigger deal, probably.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see. Just keeping it rolling here. All right, just want to talk a little bit about the Valanciunas move. We were both sort of asking certain questions about the, you know, the rationale behind it and things like that. And my first thought was, you hear Will Dawkins talk a lot about, you know, how much better they want to get defensively. And I was like, well, Valanciunas was, like, by all accounts, a bottom five defensive center last year. So does that really help them from that? But Chase Hughes of Monumental Sports posted this and said, Valanciunas was eighth among qualified players in rebound percentage last year, averaged 8.8 rebounds per game in his 23 and a half minutes. So that's about 14 rebounds per 36. And he was also second in the NBA in box outs. So, Jada, you know this better than anybody, so tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think there's an underrated portion of defense that's just ending the possession as quickly as possible. So, you know, just having a guy come in and rebound for a team that couldn't rebound last year, I think will actually kind of de facto help their defense at least a little bit.
To me, if you're going to put in a defensive system and you got defensive, like, minded coaches like we have to, you can play defense all day. But do you want to play defense all day?
Yeah, exactly.
like you said, eventually you're gonna have, somebody's gonna have to be there to rebound, right? Mm-hmm. So now you've got height, you have height, right? So, like I said before, it's a difference between defensive principles and a defensive system, defensive concepts, and a defender.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need him to be a defender. You just need him to do the things in the system,
yep.
Right? So clog up this spot. Be here when somebody's driving. Make sure the other natural abilities he already have, the box outs,
yep.
To play in the post, defending the post, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he just need to be in spots. He need to be in lanes.
Yeah.
So it's not tough for a defender. Otherwise, if he playing one now, this day you got to play 1-5, but I don't know.
That's tough. Yeah,
I don't
probably
know.
A drop big only.
It depends what they're going to run. I mean, what kind of defense principles and what defense they're implementing. It depends on that. In the end of the day, we have good bodies now to keep things at one possession.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Keep things at one possession. And now we have rim. We have the size and athletic ability with Sarf to be a rim protector.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got a lot of the things right now. We need to shut it down on the defensive side to make to start keep this at one possession. So I mean, now and he has a big body. Sometimes now, okay, if he doesn't get the rebound, he's going to block out bodies. For now, we got a long guy who can go there and just grab it.
Yeah, his might be the only guy actually going for the boards anyway. So, right. Like, as long as he's boxing out, great.
Yeah, somebody who's else guaranteed to get it?
Yeah. Sar is 3 inches taller than whoever's going to be guarding him. So,
if they play together.
Right.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families, where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits, while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
The other piece of that that I think fans have mostly seemed to really like from a creative accounting kind of standpoint, the Wizards are technically trading for Valanciunas as opposed to signing him outright as a free agent, because they had a trade exception that was created when they traded Kristaps Porzingis for Tyus Jones. So they're able to use that trade exception to bring in Valanciunas. So he essentially doesn't out toward the cap the same way as he would have, because you've got that trade exception. So they will send out a top 50 protected second round pick that may or may not ever convey as a part of it, because if you use a trade exception like that, you actually have to trade something. So by doing this, it keeps them, it gives them flexibility and additional trade exceptions and things like that. So it's just a really creative way, I think, of kind of using the things available to them. And that's maybe something we didn't see a ton from the last front office. So kudos to them for being cap experts and CBA gurus and things like that, and then trying to make the most of it. It may not end up being overly impactful in the long run, but I just like that they're thinking that way. So that was cool to see as well.
Well, that's the purpose for creating the front office team like you have.
Yeah.
Right. To take advantage of things that most people may not see, or creating cards that, you know, most people wouldn't even realize you can create. So,
yeah,
I mean, now we playing chess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be nice. We weren't even particularly good at checkers, so if we could just up level to chess.
Right. You know, we went from, you know, we were playing Uno. We might have been playing Uno first.
Yeah, right. You know? Yep, I love that. Since we last talked, they have declined Landry Shamet's $11 million player option. By all accounts, they tried to trade him and were unable to do so. They had extended his guarantee date in hope of kind of finding that trade partner. Sounds like it didn't work out. So they've just decided to let him go and kind of explore his other opportunities. This is kind of my one sort of nitpick with the front office so far. They've been holding on to these veteran guys to try to get any value from them. But you just have no leverage with a guy like Shamet. Everyone knows you need a roster spot, so he's probably going to be one of the guys to go. So am I going to give you 2 second-round picks for a guy that I may be able to just claim as a free agent in a week? Like, they've kind of been reluctant to give these guys up for anything when they can get them. So sometimes you can set the bar a little bit too high and end up walking away with nothing. At the end of the day, it's probably not a big deal, but you know, it would have been nice to see them pull kind of a second round pick or anything else to continue to add to the war chest rather than just, you know, let him go outright.
Yeah, I'm sure they tried. I'm sure they tried. It just didn't turn out, you know? I mean, every guy you expect and you try to get something back in return that's useful from every guy. I mean, that's the name of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just got to consider the source. I mean, I don't think Shamet was a bad player. I think he still can be a good player on someone else's team.
Yeah, I agree.
But the value just wasn't there right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like there was no value at the trade deadline either, and they somehow were like, well, we'll keep hanging on to him. And at some point, I think the value is the value for some of these guys. So
I just think it was saying, okay, I think what you gotta go with what's the best hanging fruit. So I think when it came time down to, okay, let's focus on Shamet, it was too late.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Tyus Jones is the top available, probably free agent point guard on the class. I haven't looked at the most recent list, but he's the biggest name fringe starter guy I'm aware of at the very least. Recent reporting from Evan Sideri of Forbes is that he's highly unlikely to return to the Wizards, and that the Wizards are working through sign and trade possibilities as they will now look to prioritize Jordan Poole and Bob Carrington in their backcourt. A resolution could be reached sometime this week. They also say reporting that the Wizards remain a team to monitor on the trade market. Tyus Jones has drawn some interest via sign and trade, as have Corey Kispert and Kyle Kuzma. The Wizards continue to look to listen to talks for both of them as well. We'll talk about maybe those guys here in a second. I think we're both kind of on the same page of like Tyus was probably a better player this year than he got credit for, but really tough to run him and pull back together in a backcourt. I mean, so I think if I were the Wizards, I'm all for signing and trading him, but similar to the Shamit thing, I wouldn't be holding out for some price tag you may never get. Like, you're not getting a first for him. We've already seen that. You're probably not getting the 4 second-round picks that were reported last deadline. So if I get 2 good second-round picks or something like that, you know, like pull the trigger. Like, let's just get something happen and kind of get the ball rolling on this.
And I feel like it's a little bit different with Tyus. I mean,
a better player for sure.
He's a better player. Yeah. Guaranteed there's teams that's interested.
I agree.
Teams that need him. Yep. He's a solid player, right? Mm-hmm. Especially after this year. His numbers don't lie. His effectiveness doesn't lie. His lack of turnovers doesn't lie. It's just he's not a player that's going to go out there and be a floor general and make, but he's a coach's point guard in some instances. He did not fit with Poole. Their games are just completely different, right? Tyus is a less motor guy, more of a, you know, and Poole is a motor guy.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of a lack of things and outside of some things, you know, gains of some things. But Tyus is a guy that you definitely consider getting something back for.
You have to. Right? You can't afford to let him walk for
nothing. He's not a guy you just let walk. I mean, like you said, if it's two second round picks, look, I don't see him not being valuable enough. His value not that low to not get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's teams that want him.
I think so too. Actually, in the chat, Jimmy Go Outside said ESPN's Chris Herring is reporting that the Magic could be interested in signing trade to bring in Tyus from 22 hours ago. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. There will be a suitor. Somebody will decide they need a point guard. It's just what can they get back from him, and do they have to take on salary that they don't want longer term to do it to get those things back? Like, that'll all be kind of the really interesting piece of it. Guy Ben in the chat says, as a Denny fan, your franchise and passionate fans got into my heart. I continue following you guys. Hopefully good days are ahead for you. Right back at you. Hope Denny has a good run in Portland. We will definitely miss him here. And he may not be alone. Like, there may be plenty of other guys on the move with him, as we alluded to. Again, Evan Sideri from Forbes mentioned Kyle Kuzma and Corey Kispert. Said that all three guys would net Washington assets as they hope to bottom out in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes. The Kings were made active in trade talks, looking for one more impact player, despite just adding DeMar DeRozan, that they continue to still be interested in someone like Kyle Kuzma. They could make the salaries work by including Kevin Huerter alongside future draft capital. According to his reporting, that the Wizards have continued to hold out for 2 first-round picks in exchange for Kuzma. I think their logic is that, hey, if Mikal Bridges got multiple, you know, first round picks, we should at least be able to get 2 for Kuzma. I don't disagree with them. Even if they're like protected first round picks, you should still be able to get 2 first-round picks. That's kind of where I'm at. Or at least like 1 good, young, intriguing player in lieu of a first round pick. But I wouldn't be like, oh, we got a 25th pick in the 2029 NBA draft. Let's pull the trigger. Like, that doesn't make sense to me personally.
I don't think you go for anything less than that.
Yeah.
I mean, not for Kuzma. You just don't do it.
I agree.
You know, I mean, he's a good card in your hand. Mm-hmm. You know, not grand wasted. I would hold on to him before I would go for anything less.
He's your last big trade chip, honestly. Like, he'll net you more than Kispert and any of these other guys will. So you can't afford to let him go for nothing. So that'll be big. We just keep hearing Sacramento come up repeatedly. That's the popular name for like almost a year now. It seems like there's one of those like too much smoke to not be fire kind of things. So
I think that with Kuzma is going to probably have to be a 3-team, 4-team type of You know, so I think they're trying to make all these pieces fit.
Yep.
Because you're here in Sacramento all the time. So it's not that they're gone. Now you just got to make a, it may, you might have to incorporate other teams to make this deal fit.
My hunch is that he's here to start the season. And this is probably next year's trade or this upcoming season's trade deadline. I mean, when he finally gets moved sometime between start of the season and then when somebody has an injury or needs an impact player or, you know, a Dallas or somebody realizes, hey, we're a guy away and this is the guy. All it's going to take us is two lightly protected first round picks or whatever, you know, maybe somebody just makes the move at that point.
Yeah, and there's less years on the action during the season.
Yep.
And creates a instant, definite need, immediate need, and it helps another team out.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, that's, I think that's what you got to hope for if you're the Wizards to kind of get you over the hump there. That would be my guess, at least. And then just the last thing here kind of is the Corey Kispert piece, what he could actually get you back. I think Corey could fit on either timeline. You know, we mentioned some of the scoring he provides, but if he's not going to be 3 and D, he's a little tough to be a part of your long-term future. And that's probably an archetype that's a little easier to replace if he's just a shooting specialist. So what would an NBA team really be willing to give him back? Was somebody so desperate for shooting, you can get another late first-round pick for him? You know, that I would consider at that point.
It depends if you're looking for a pick or you're looking for a person.
I would imagine anything they do with these guys, they're going to try to get some kind of pick compensation back, I would think.
I think, yeah, late first round.
Yeah. If you get the 26th pick and some young guy salary filler, I would.
But 19, between 19 and 20, 24, something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm cool with that, especially in next year's draft. I would do anything to have extra picks in next year's draft and the 2026 draft. Chaudy, I've been watching the under 17 team all the last week playing in that tournament. They're unreal, and most of those guys will be in the 2026 draft.
Hey.
No.
It's real.
Yes. Sign me up.
It's a new basketball in town, man.
Yeah. They were dominant, like all-time dominant.
And didn't think twice.
Yeah, right. They just smashed people from the get-go.
And they were convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah. It was a dominant, an international.
Hey, you almost want to swap them out.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing them in this year's Olympics.
You all go back to the NBA and rest.
Exactly. There is a handful of guys on that team that look like they could play NBA minutes right now.
Yeah. They definitely can.
Yeah.
It's a handful of guys I would probably put on that USA team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at seeing that either. And
yeah.
People talked about their shootings being a question mark beforehand, and it's just like it didn't matter when you're just so much better than everybody else at that level. I think that's going to be a special class.
So there's still that hunger and that passion to play that kind of dies down with NBA players after a while, right? That more NBA players are more like, okay, I got – this one's just like, you know, that young energy and that young – it's almost about what you don't know.
Exactly. You don't know what you don't know. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
They look shot out of a cannon. I mean, that's infectious. So
they look like they couldn't keep up with them.
Yep.
Ball movement, playing, and they ball movement. It wasn't like they were playing. So playing
no, together. At all. Yeah.
Oh, it looked beautiful.
Yeah, and there were multiple guys that were leading scorers in different games and things like that. So they all kind of had their moments, and guys seemed cool with roles. And they also had guys that were like star role players too, like a Jordan Smith out of Paul VI here in the area, like just came in and was like, cool, I'm the Lu Dort of this team. Like I'm the guard stopper. And, you know, he had a 9-10 point game here or there, but they also rewarded the guys that play defense and transition and stuff like that too. So that was cool to see.
But at the same time, sometimes the advantage is not people knowing who you are.
Yeah, right. They can't scout guys like that a lot, too.
Right. You can't. There's no way you could scout. You got to get the feel for this game. And so you get in the feel every game, which the guys say, okay, I know Anthony Davis. I know what he does. I know what LeBron does. I watched them, been watching them for 20 years. Right. So it's an advantage.
Yeah. I just, that got me juiced for basketball. Like I want to see all these guys on college rosters. Like I'm all about it. So as much as I've enjoyed seeing the Cooper flag highlights out of the Olympic camp, like I was just excited for the group after that, the AJ DeBonsas and Cam Boozers and that whole crew. Tyron Stokes is the year after that, like, or he could reclass up to be in their year, I think. But I'm sure you've seen a good amount of those guys on the AAU circuit the last couple of years.
I watched them all this summer, so.
It's fun. It makes me want to go to more AAU stuff just for some of these guys.
And what's unique about that is guys like that usually aren't able to play together instantly.
Yeah. Right. They just gelled. It was very unselfish. And
with the fact that they gelled so quickly and was so unselfish, that's not normal.
No, I agree.
Top stars.
Also just came out today that Kawhi Leonard has withdrawn from the Olympic team. And in the second post that came out, it strongly intimated that the Clippers may have had something to do with that decision-making, that the Clippers felt that despite him having a couple good practices and getting up to speed, that maybe it's best if he prepares for the NBA season.
Yeah.
I kind of don't blame them. It's also selfishly a bummer for a Team USA fan that I think.
I didn't know that the team could demand it.
I think some guys have some portion of their contract that gives final approval to the team, but
I am.
You don't.
I would see the same thing if I was Clippers.
I don't disagree with them.
I was already planning on it. If I was a Clippers, I was planning on that before it happened.
Exactly. Let him go to the workout, get ready, you know, prep. So we
really see how he's doing. Oh, he looks good.
Right.
Stop him.
Also, it makes the player look like an a-hole if he just says no to the team outright. So at least this way he went and he gave it a try and they can kind of save face a little bit there too. So he'll be replaced by Derek White. I would like to see like a Jaylen Brown or somebody personally, but
I don't get it. It's a little Jaylen Brown blackballing going on.
Yeah, he was on that
And no one would talk about it, but yeah.
Jalen Brunson, you know, another guy that has gotten some consideration.
I don't get it.
The Olympics will start probably about 2.5 weeks at this point. Any predictions for Team USA? How are you feeling about their overall chances here?
See, my thing is just because you had a best, I mean, basketball has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Team USA, European ball and, you know, overseas ball completely, you know. It's not now just because you have great players. It's the style of play that's different.
Yep.
If they can't conform to the style of play and they go there with NBA play, flopping and looking for fouls and now you're going to have the style of play is going to be different, much different. The physicalness is going to be much different.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't NBA refs. You're not getting ready to get
the superstar calls aren't happening.
Getting superstar calls or half the calls you're getting. So if you're not going there with a mentality of when you used to play playground ball, right? If somebody pushing you down and getting you back up, then we're going to get beat down. Getting beat down because we aren't tough.
Sure.
We're getting beat. We may get, you know, if we don't go with the right mindset, I'm saying we're going to get beat down because. How we've been trained and programmed.
Right. They had a clip the other day from, two of them, one where Joel Embiid almost took somebody's face off. And then another one where he basically flailed and threw his arms up. Yeah. And about 4 seconds later, they called a foul. And I want to say it was Trace Jackson Davis.
You're not helping them out.
Right. Rudy Gobert is not getting called for that foul in the Olympics. I think the one thing that gives me some faith are the old heads on that team. Like, I think Steph Curry and LeBron can adapt better than most to playing kind of that international ball movement heavy style of play if they need to. So I think then that'd be just like a little too much firepower. So I'm expecting them to get it done. But I will not be shocked if like Canada or somebody, you know, doesn't give us like a real run for our money in one of these games. But they've also got a group of death. So
tougher. It's going to be about keeping up with the ball move.
Yeah.
That ball is going to be moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you just saw the Celtics win a title going from an ISO heavy system to a ball movement, you know, friendlier system, and it got the job done for them. So hopefully that's that's in the forefront of everybody's brain on that team. And Tatum can kind of help, you know, be the guy to, to usher that in. So, agreed. All right. I think that's all I got here. Chahadi, anything you want to close us out with?
No, I'm good, my man.
All right. By the next time we talk, everybody, there will be a couple summer league games under the team's belt here. So fingers crossed. Hopefully it looks good. Again, that's Friday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. I believe that game is on ESPN, so should be fun to watch. And I don't know. Go Wizards. We'll see how it goes. All right, everybody. Presented by betonline.ag. Rate, review, subscribe. Click that little like button for us, and we will catch you all next time.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun, trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.